Good morning. Welcome to this worship service of the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan, on this lovely summer Sunday. I'm Rick Bixon, the transitional pastor here. I'm delighted to greet you who are in the sanctuary this morning, as well as those who are watching online, this a wonderful hybrid community that is First Baptist. A couple things I'll call your attention to is during the singing of the first hymn, if you have prayer concerns, there are small cards in the pew racks in front of you. If you'll fill out that card and hand it to the ushers will come down the aisle during the singing of the first verse of the first hymn and collect those and bring them to me so we can use those as part of our prayer time. There are also connect cards in the sanctuary and the pew rack. If you fill those out, we'd be delighted to have that information from you. There will be fellowship time downstairs in our basement after the worship service. And today we're having our last, this is sort of a summer wrap-up Sunday. This is our last adult forum for the summer. We're doing a two-part thing on worship, and today we'll be talking about hymns and music and worship. So please come be part of that conversation. And then just let you know that Bible study and gathering and so forth are all have all wound up for the summertime. There'll be other activities going on this summer, and Zan's going to tell us about them.
Thank you, Emmanuel. We're 2 for 2 here. Okay, or 0 for 2, depending on how you want to look at it. We are delighted to share some upcoming events that we have happening here at First Baptist this month in June. The first one is the Summer Festival has started. If you're new to town or haven't been, you should check it out. The Ann Arbor Summer Festival is a total blast. Great musicians, movies, great food trucks. And we have signed up to help make that possible. Outreach, our outreach board has 3 goals: to be good neighbors, to be hospitable, and to increase our visibility as a way of showing God's love in the world. And so we are going to volunteer next weekend, Sunday evening, from 5 to 7, and we hope that you will join us. We have 15 slots. We couldn't have more than that. They won't stop us from bringing extra people. Right now, I think we have 9 people signed up, so if you would stop by the ministry station, connect with me or Gretchen, who is here today from Outreach, we can help get you signed up. You can also sign up online at fbca2.org/connect. So that's coming up. And then we just learned of a great opportunity to be hospitable again to artist Derek Webb. You'll find his information in the announcement section of your bulletin. Derek used to be part of the group called Cademan's Call. If you're around my age, you might remember that group. He's now doing solo work, and he has a bunch of house concerts that are happening. And the house that was going to host him here in Ann Arbor, the host had to go to a funeral on the day of the concert. And so we've been able to step up and fill in to make it possible for Derek Webb to have his concert. You'll see it's for his new album, Survival Songs, a soundtrack for survival in dangerous times. Teenagers in the queer community get free tickets, so feel free to jump online. You'll see where the tickets are, and you can mark that. We hope that you will be able to join us for that important time to be together and to hear good music and to focus on some things that matter and be in solidarity with one another. So that is on the 28th. You'll see that in your bulletin, too. So Bonnie now has some celebrations to share with us.
Good morning, friends. Happy Father's Day to everyone. By the way, speaking of the Summer Festival, if you've never done it, it's really fun. You should come join us because Zan is amazing, and it gives you, well, I'm an extrovert. Can you guess? So it really gives you a chance to talk to people who, like, walk up to you and go, hey, this is really cool. What can I be doing here? You know, what are the fun things in this summer festival? And how can I recycle better? And it's really fun. So you should come because it's great for us to just talk to people if you like to do that, which, I don't know, I like to do that. So I would like to take a few moments this morning to honor and thank our amazing choir for their service throughout this entire season. This is our last Sunday to sing for you for the summer. The choir deserves a break today, and not at McDonald's, but it definitely deserves a break. So we are going to be taking a break until the last week of August. I want you to know how much I appreciate them, and I know that you all appreciate them as well. We are an amazing group of friends who meet every single Thursday night to practice. This season alone, since August through now, we have sung 106 different pieces of music. And that doesn't include the service music, the worship music that we all sing together, of which you are an important part. We sing together, we pray together, and we support each other in good and bad, and truly love one another. And it's been my true honor to lead them, you, every week as we serve God through our music. That's what we do. We serve God through singing, through our music. I can't thank them enough. I'd also like to thank real special Carolyn Grapentine, who I don't know if is here today, but Carolyn has been providing childcare for Allie, who's Michelle and Frank's daughter, this whole season. And so she brings Ben, and they play together up in the village area, up in the classroom up here. So it's really fun. So I really thank her for taking care of Allie while Michelle and Frank are in the choir. I'd also like to thank our section leaders especially, because our choir needs them. To help teach them their notes, and because we, not everybody in that choir, we're not professional musicians, most of us. So I'd like to thank Michelle Ding, who's our soprano, who happens to be in Hawaii right now. So Coley is with us subbing today for Michelle, which is great. Lucy Thompson, our mezzo-soprano. Ben Findlin, our wonderful tenor. And Isaac Thompson is our baritone. Isaac left us temporarily but couldn't stay away. So he came back because he's going to be doing his PhD at the University of Toledo in applied math. So, yay, we get him for however long that takes, which might take a long time. Who knows? But, you know, I think that's just great. But rest assured, everyone, that every Sunday during the summer, most Sundays, that we will have our music covered. And lo and behold, also, a huge thank you to Shanae. Shanae is with us every Thursday, every Sunday, helps us learn our music, and provides amazing leadership at that beautiful Naren organ that sits up there every single Sunday. So, and Shanae came back from Korea for today for our last service, which is fantastic. So we're so grateful to her. So thanks to all of them. Thanks to you for supporting the music program of this church and for its caring about its long tradition of great music. So thank you very much, and go music, go choir. Thank you.
Big thanks to Monty. Will you join us now in the responsive call to worship, just inside the front cover of your bulletin?
O Holy One, we come in humility and awe, waiting on wisdom, Holy Sophia, to reveal to us her way.
She, incarnate in Jesus, embodied in cells and centipedes, woos us with a wink into an unknown, an unknowable future, except that it shall be delightful, for she is delighted by creation.
And it shall be beautiful, for beauty is the path she walks.
And it shall be good, for she is the irrepressible goodness of creation.
And it shall be just, for she is outraged by oppression of all her children, human and other than human.
O Holy One, we turn now from our foolish ways to walk the path of wisdom. lightly, lovingly upon this beautiful green planet.
Let us worship.
Pray with me. I bind unto myself this day the strong name of the Trinity,
the Creator's gifts of earth and sky, the flowing creeks and fertile land, the winter sun and summer moon, the roaring sea and golden sand.
I bind unto myself this day the Christ who wears our human clay,
the baby sleeping in a stall, the healer touching our disease, the one of love upon the cross, the risen friend who hears our pleas.
I bind unto myself this day the Spirit who is here to stay, the breath that makes the broken whole, the truth that flows like liquid light, the wind that sweeps my dusty soul, the fire that warms the darkest night. From now unto infinity, the strong name of the Trinity. Amen.
Thank you.
Does not wisdom call? And does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out,
"To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. O simple ones, learn prudence, acquire intelligence, you who lack it. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips.
All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to one who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her.
I, wisdom, live with prudence, and I attain knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Holy One is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have good advice and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength.
I love those who love me and those who seek diligently to find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield better than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, among the paths of justice, endowing with wealth those who love me and filling their treasuries.
The Holy One created me at the beginning of their work, the first of their acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, when they had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil.
When they established the heavens, I was there. When they drew a circle on the face of the deep. When they made firm the skies above, when they established the fountains of the deep. When they assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress their command. When they marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside them, like a master worker. And I was daily their delight, rejoicing before them always, rejoicing in their inhabited world, and delighting in the human race.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Friends, would you get in a circle a second? Can you spread this all the way around? Because we're going to need to be kind of in a circle for our thing. Teresa and Simeon, would you come here? Yeah. We need to be close enough that we can touch each other's hands. If you can think of that mind. You would like to be the down the middle. That's fine. Great. Okay. So, friends, today we're talking about, the Trinity. It starts with those letters T-R-I, like tricycle. How many tires are there in a tricycle? Three. Or a triangle. How many sides in a triangle? Ooh, there are so many cool things about triangles. Yes, triangles, three sides. Oh, Trinity, a word we're using today to describe God. Three parts of God. Jesus, he's a part of it. The Spirit, she's a part of it. God, they are a part of it. So, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to hold out my hands, and if you're up for holding the hand of the person next to you, would you do that? I'm going to say, Jesus is a part of it. Would you hold my hand? If you want to. Spirit is a part of it. She's a part of it. And then God is too. Did you notice in our song we also had three parts? I am the church. You are the church. We all are the church. There's this thing about groups of people working together. Would you say that after me? I am the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Just like the Trinity, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God are all part of God too. And then I was thinking, there are more things like this, really important things like this. Like in a democracy, we have three parts to our democracy into our government so that we can work well together. A lot of us have been thinking about this. Maybe you've been thinking about this in school. Have you learned about the legislative branch? The judicial branch, yeah, for those of us that are older, the executive branch. It's really important. We learn from God, Jesus, and the Spirit that it's good when there's partnership and leadership. In fact, it's not just good, it's absolutely necessary. And we hear it too when we sing about our church, that it's not just me. I don't make all the decisions for church. It's not just you. It's all of us together. I love that. Our search committee, those are the people who are looking for our next pastor. We call them the Pastor Search Committee. Can you say that name? Pastor Search Committee. This kind of sounds like they're playing hide and go seek. They're going searching. They're reaching out and finding out what pastor might be coming here next. And they did the same thing as the Trinity. They said, hey, there are lots of people. There are seven of them, not three. Seven, but they said, hey, let's each take responsibility. We'll each take responsibility for something else, and we'll all work together. It's important. I love that the partnership between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit helps us see how we can work together within the church, within our country, when we're searching for a new pastor. All those things matter. So, you remember those three parts? Let's do it again, if you're up for it, for holding hands. That Jesus and the Spirit and God are all a part together. You and me and all of us are part of the church together. And when we think about the country, that matters too. Working together. And the search committee, who's finding our new pastor. Working together, each taking a job. All right, would you put your hands out in front of you now like this? We're going to pray. Yeah, good. Finnegan's got his arms out. God, we take seriously the work of being partners with you. You invite us into that relationship with you and the Spirit on the move as we experience Jesus' love. Help us be good partners with you. Help us be good partners in this church. Help us be good citizens in our country. And help us find our next pastor. And in the Trinity, in all the names of the Trinity, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's head to church school together. Come with me.
As we enter into our prayer time, I just wanted to share with those of you who might remember Dan McCullough. I had the lovely privilege on Friday of doing a graveside service for Dan, who died in January. It was really quite precious. He was buried along with his wife, Ola Jean, who was also a faithful member of this church for many years, in a tiny little cemetery between Tipton and Adrian, if you have any idea where that is. It's about this wide, and it has a fence around it, but it was really lovely to be part of that with the McCullough family on Friday morning. So I wanted to share that with you, especially those of you who remember Dan and Ola Jean. Holy, holy, holy God, in calling forth creation from the void, revealing yourself in human flesh, and pouring forth your wisdom to guide us, you manifest your concern for your whole universe. You invite us as your people to gather the world's needs into our hearts and bring them before you. God, we live in troubled times in a troubled world. Wars escalate. Violence runs rampant. Leadership lies and rides roughshod over the common good they pledge to uphold. The physical environment is under dire threat. Artificial divisions among your children threaten the incredible diversity in which you take such delight. Help us, O God, to stand against the principalities and powers, proclaiming the love and grace you offer so freely, witnessing to the way Christ walked the earth in another troubled time and place, making space at our tables for the full inclusion of whomever wants to come and sit with us, creating shelter when and where it is needed, caring with compassion for the earth and all its creatures, even the human ones. We pray this morning for our pastoral search committee as they do their important work for this church. We pray for the McCullough family. We lift Sue Ellen Glover in prayer as her brother Charles died on Thursday night. We pray for Martin, for Harold. We pray with gratitude for our choir and for the music that our musicians share so freely with us. For Bob Reynolds, for John Vandervliet, for Marlene Francis, for Grange Burnside, for David Gregg, for Joan Blunt, for Becky Lepley, for Adrian Moulton Headley, for Peg and Joe Bradford, Rob Snyder, Roberta Hawes, Mervyn Eukerts, Esther Floyd, Catherine Cartier, Chuck Suits, Linda Berg, Marilyn Marsh, Pidgey Caroli, Dakota Lawson, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, Lindsay Grace, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Faye Key. Holy, holy, holy God, fill us with strength and courage, with discernment and compassion, that we may be your instruments of justice and love and peace in this troubled world, that it may be on earth as it is in heaven. And now we pray together that prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, saying,
Amen.
We spent some time now reflecting on our need for God. Creating God, your love is the color that ripples through all that is made. Your wisdom gives balance to life that keeps the universe alive. May this be our living prayer, to live in partnership with creation, blessing it, loving it, sharing it wisely. Living wisdom, you are the lilt in the song of justice sung by God's people around the world. Your truth, spoken and incarnate, guides us in the ways of abundant life for all. May this be our living prayer, to live as a community of Christ, blessing it, loving it, sharing it wisely. Empowering Spirit, you are the energy that lifts up the discouraged and dances alongside the inspired. You cast a vision of the way things can be and give shape to God's shalom in creation. May this be our living prayer, to live as partners of godly change, blessing it, loving it, sharing it wisely. Keep now a moment of silence to meditate, reflect, be still, draw closer to the holy. The word you spoke and keep speaking, O God, is the life, the sustenance of all that is, seen and unseen. The life you gave and keep giving, O Christ, is the recreation, the renewed birth of every broken, wounded, and sinful creature. The breath you breathe and keep breathing, O Spirit, is the inspiration for creativity, compassion, and community that connects and unites all that God has made. Life-giving, life-restoring, life-fulfilling God, our worship seeks to honor you, our hearts are devoted to you, and our lives are completely given over to you. Amen.
Thank you.
Today is Trinity Sunday, and we focus ordinarily on God, the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But I want to add a fourth person to the Trinity today. If you're at all a follower of Carl Jung, the great Swiss analyst, Jung was a great fan of what he called the quaternity, that there are four faces or four aspects or four persons in the Godhead, the Creator, the Christ, the Spirit, and Holy Wisdom. It's interesting that in that configuration there are two males and two females, or they can also be non-binary as you find meaningful for you. Anyway, I want to say that word as we delve further into Holy Wisdom. So pray with me. God of delight, your wisdom sings your word at the crossroads where humanity and divinity meet. Invite us into your joyful being where you know and are known in each beginning, in all sustenance, in every redemption, that we may manifest your unity in the diverse ministries you entrust to us, truly reflecting your triune majesty in the faith that acts, in the hope that does not disappoint, and in the love that endures. Amen. Halloween. There's a word we rarely hear these days, unless, of course, you think I'm referring to the autumn occasion when costume kids ring your doorbell and demand trick-or-treat. However, that word is spelled differently. There is a distinguishing bit of ring to Halloween, the word for today. We're the people of God. Come to this Halloween place. My friend and mentor David Bartlett penned these words as a gift to the people of my home church, Lakeshore Avenue Baptist Church in Oakland, California. John Landgraf, another friend, wrote the tune and labeled it Lakeshore. It was originally entitled Hymn for Pentecost and became a kind of theme song for that congregation. I thought about using it last Sunday for Pentecost, but then I remembered what a thoroughly Trinitarian hymn it is, and so I saved it for today. And we'll sing it at the end of the service. Creator strong and sure, Jesus our friend and guide, Spirit and comforter. Each person of the Trinity is given due consideration in its own verse. The verses are lovely, but I especially like the chorus. We are the people of God. Come to this Halloween place. We are the body of Christ, bonded together by grace. What a lovely aspirational notion of what it means to be church. The body of Christ, bonded together by grace. It fits well with our current call to be the church together. But what of this Halloween place? What does it mean to be the people of God come to this Halloween place? Now, David was a highly educated and cultured man. Sometimes his vocabulary stretched beyond the ordinary. So Halloween. The dictionary says it means to make holy or to consecrate. Synonyms include to make sacred, to sanctify, and to bless. We are the people of God who come to this place that somehow makes us a bit more holy, that consecrates us, that sacralizes or sanctifies us, that both blesses and creates us as a blessing. It's an interesting and challenging thought that this might be a Halloween place. You all have heard me talk on occasion about the ministry of the building. I wonder if that is not related to what might make this a Halloween place. Another friend, Don Ng, and I once had a spirited conversation about whether there can actually be a ministry of the building. He took the more conventional, non-liturgical view that a building itself cannot be sacred or a ministry. There must be something sacred or sacralizing, some activity within it to create and sustain its mission. It's the people who inhabit the space and what they do in it that sets it apart, that makes it a hallowing place. I understand this argument. There have been times that I've made it myself. In this regard, I'm reminded of a song maybe that we've sung, I'm not sure, but that sings, "Come build a church with soul and spirit. We need no tower rising skyward, no house of wood or glass or stone." Of course, Ken Miedema is correct. We don't have to have a building to be the church. Soul and spirit should be sufficient building materials. But what do you do when you have a building? Well, not surprisingly, I've come to believe that people can cultivate a ministry of the building. The church on the corner can become a hallowing place, a place where people can be made sacred, sanctified, blessed. There is an interaction between the holy and the human that can take place in a space that we call church that makes it a hallowing place. Yes, it's a mystery. I can't fully explain how or why it happens, but I know it does. More than one person who has entered this building and made use of it has sensed an aura about it that is hallowed. They may not be here at all for spiritual or religious reasons. Yet once they enter this space, they experience something unique that is inherently spiritual, even when the congregation is not present. It makes the building itself attractive, a place where people want to linger, a hallowing place. Yes, it's a lovely space, but the hallowing dimension is more than that. Maybe it's the cloud of witness that hovers within these walls. Maybe it's the efforts that have been made here over the past 150 years or so to worship, to witness, to learn, to grow, to be God's beloved community. Maybe it's the faithful commitment of a people to God and to the gospel and to the well-being of one another and the wider community and all creation. Some combination of these things and more makes this a hallowing place. Now, following today's text, maybe this is a hallowing place because we have made room here for holy wisdom. This is a place in which wisdom has been allowed to call, to raise her voice, a place where she can take her stand and cry out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. O simple ones, learn prudence. Acquire intelligence, you who lack it. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous," she says. "There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to one who understands, and right to those who find knowledge." A word for our troubled times. Of course, we haven't always paid attention or allowed her to guide us. But perhaps we have been attentive enough and willing to follow to the degree that we at least recognize this as a hallowing place in which God's people are sometimes present and working to bring about God's beloved community. Here, on occasion, we have encountered wisdom, gained knowledge, learned prudence and discretion, acknowledged in awe the Holy One, laid aside pride and arrogance, and gained insight and strength. Isn't this what hallowing is all about? And why we come here week after week seeking the sacred at some level, obvious or hidden? With all my heart, I believe it is. In a reflection entitled, A Desperate Need for Wisdom, Hebrew scripture scholar John Holbert rants, I gaze with mounting horror at the ill-mannered, rude, crude, and ad hominem nonsense that exudes at great lengths from the keyboards of literally thousands of phones and pads and computers. Hundreds of comments ensue, many building on the foolishness of previous authors. I debase the term to name such drivel so, he says, until any hope of enlightenment is drowned, buried, exploded in a maelstrom of vitriol and a spasm of words vomited from every dark chasm of some verbal hell. I pile on the multiple metaphors for the reason that the social media frenzy does the same, cascading a waterfall of gibberish onto the floors of unsuspecting platforms, swamping gigabytes and terabytes with hogwash by the ton. Amen? Apparently, Hobart has some strong feelings about the way of the modern world. Maybe you do too. His essay was penned in 2016. I wonder how his feelings of disdain and disgust might have intensified, if possible, over the last 9 years. If he felt desperate for wisdom then, how much more must he and we feel desperate for wisdom today? Hyperbole aside, he has a legitimate point. In so many ways, our contemporary society has abandoned wisdom and gone off in search of the lowest possible denominators of social enterprise imaginable. In fact, some defy imagination and threaten our very existence. We are under assault from lies and misrepresentations in the highest seats of power. It's hard to hear truth and recognize righteousness. Empathy is a sin and compassion is a liability. My friend Jim Hopkins observes that an authoritarian government comes with very high costs to liberty, justice, charity, equality, and opportunity. Holbert is right. There is a desperate need in our time for wisdom. Too often today, she stands on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, crying out, and no one pays her the least attention. More often than not, we are too busy, preoccupied, hardened against her message, to pay any attention to her cry. We are deaf to her voice. We are eagerly on our way somewhere. We are not interested in looking for or finding her hallowing place. We pass quickly by on the other side. And friends, we do so at our own peril. And still, as always, there's good news. There's good news. Holy wisdom, Born of God, architect of the created order, she who has dwelt beside God from the beginning has been God's daily delight, rejoicing before God always, rejoicing in God's inhabited world, even delighting in the human race. She is not going away. She has been ignored, reviled, and abused before, and undoubtedly she will be again. And nevertheless, she persists. She perseveres, offering her gifts in the same vein God offers grace, abundantly, infinitely, to the end of time and beyond. The day will come when the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Holy One as the waters cover the sea, and all of creation will be recognized as hallowing space. Until then, the people of God need places like this, and others we will discover in the days ahead, which are hallowing places, places in which we might discover wisdom, embrace her, and learn her ways. With John Holbert, we may yet pray, "Come quickly, woman, wisdom, and clear our minds of foolishness. Cleanse our mouths from stupidity. Make our words and work with one another worthy of the high calling of God to love and care for all of God's vast and rich creation. Thanks be to God for all the ways and all the days in which this has been a place where wisdom was welcomed, a hallowing place. As we continue to care for this hallowed place, may we also find and build up other hallowing places in our journey as people of God, the body of Christ, bonded together, if not always in person, then surely by grace." Amen. As the ushers come to take our morning offering and give back to God a portion of that which we have been blessed, I remind you also that throughout this month we're taking a special mission offering for the One Great Hour of Sharing. I think there are envelopes in the pew racks as well. If you want to give to that, that would be much appreciated. It goes to help people, especially victims of all kinds of disasters and refugees and immigrants. So I invite you to give to that as well as to the ministries of this church. Holy One, bless these gifts that we share, gifts of time, talent, and treasure. May they reflect our shared joy in and hopes for the beautiful earth and its varied and gifted inhabitants. May our gifts reach through this place and out into the world to affirm the delight you feel in all of your creation. Amen. I invite you now to greet one another with the peace of this day. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. And cheerfulness. Go in the name of the Creator, whose love is as everlasting arms. Go in holy wisdom, whose call is to learn prudence and acquire a intelligence that we might live rightly and well. Go in the Savior, whose grace is as a cup that is full and overflowing. Go in the name of the Counselor, whose fellowship is sweeter than honey. Go in peace to witness and to serve. Amen.